Welcome back to Random Trek, the podcast where I, your host, Scott McNulty, watch a random episode of Star Trek and discuss it with a non-random guest. My non-random guest tonight is Marissa McClellan. Marissa, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So how would the people listening to this podcast know you?
They would know me from my blog, Food in Jars, or maybe one of my lovely cookbooks, Food in Jars or Preserving by the Pint. They may also know me by the fact that I am married to you.
What? That's crazy.
Indeed.
This is nepotism, and I will not stand for it.
Shall podcast I leave? Is,
oh, please, show yourself out. this marks the first episode that is recorded in person, so if it sounds different...
That's why.
That's why. So we are both here high above Center City, Philadelphia, and we are going to discuss a Deep Space Nine episode, specifically... You say that as though Deep Space Nine... We'll talk about which series you like. Deep Space Nine, Season 6, Episode 11, Waltz, which features Gul Dukat, a fan favorite. Before we get into the episode, let's talk a little bit about your interest in Star Trek in general. So how would you define yourself as a Star Trek fan, Marissa?
Well, like some of the other guests you've had on, because I've listened to many other episodes...
Oh, I have a sense of obligation.
I am the daughter of a Star Trek fan, first and foremost. Mm. My father was an original series fan, and when Next Generation and Voyager came on when I was in either middle school, I think Next Generation came on when I was in middle school, perhaps, or elementary school, and then when Voyager started, I was in high school, and they were required viewing for all household members. Many of my father's birthday celebrations have revolved around going to view a Star Trek movie. And so I think I sort of absorbed it by osmosis as much as anything. But I enjoy it. I have watched many episodes, although I'll turn an episode on and think, huh, how is it possible that I haven't seen this one? So maybe I didn't pay as much attention to it all as I may have. And then I married you. And
well, big mistake.
Star Trek imbues many elements of our life together.
It is true. I am, in fact, at the moment wearing a Star Trek hoodie that you gave me for Christmas.
It is true. And yesterday you were wearing your Star Trek socks.
And the hoodie as well.
And the hoodie as well.
It's true. I like Star Trek. People may not know this about me, but I enjoy a little bit of Star Trek. So you said that The Next Generation and Voyager were required viewing at your home. It is interesting because Voyager came out after Deep Space Nine. So Deep Space Nine was not required viewing.
No. My dad didn't like Deep Space Nine.
What?
And in fact, it is only thanks to you and watching the episode where they go back in time to the Trouble with Tribbles episode of Deep Space Nine that my dad even began to consider it worth watching.
Well, that's crazy. Because as we all know, Deep Space Nine is, in fact, the best series.
You keep claiming that.
Well, it's true. And I have a podcast. I can claim it all I want.
Fair enough.
So you are a daughter of a fan, and you are married to a fan.
Yes.
Well, given the circumstances, could you pick a favorite series of Star Trek?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say The Next Generation is my favorite because it was my first Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And then I also... was a big Voyager booster back in the day because it had a lady captain.
A lady captain.
And as a...
A lady.
A lady. And one who wanted ladies to do well.
Oh, sisters.
I always root for the woman when it is an option. I was very excited that there was going to be a female captain of a Star Trek series.
I have noticed that all the people on my podcast who have picked Voyager is one of their favorite series, happen to, at this point, I think this is true, happen to all have been women, which I suppose is not surprising, given Captain Janeway was a lady, and one of the first strong, well, the first female captain who was a main character.
Yeah.
So people seem to resonate with that. Although I think that's also why many male Star Trek fans did not like Voyager. But we're not here to talk about Voyager. What did you know about Deep Space Nine before we watch this episode?
Well, maybe a year and a half or so ago, you and I set out to inform me about Deep Space Nine. And so
we
started watching it, and we got through maybe one and a half seasons.
Yes.
And then stopped for whatever reason.
And this happened. We started doing this before it was available on Netflix. So I had to rip all of the DVDs so that we could stream it to the Apple TV because we didn't have a DVD player. It's a long story. So there was a lot of effort that went into that.
Yep.
And then like halfway through, everything became available on Netflix. So we just switched to Netflix. Which is great, but the problem with Deep Space Nine is that it is not in HD.
It makes you very sad.
Which makes me sad. And it has not been remastered yet. And I'm hoping, since the last season of The Next Generation just came out on Blu-ray, and Marisa bought that for me for Christmas, so season 7 is out on Blu-ray, I'm hoping that there has been enough interest in The Next Generation Blu-rays that they will now go on to remaster Deep Space Nine, and then eventually Voyager, and reissue them all on Blu-rays as well with better special effects and stuff. But we'll see.
Fingers crossed.
Woo! So that's what you only knew about the first season and a half of Deep Space Nine, which is before really they got into these whole arcs. So you don't know anything about the Dominion War and who Gul Dukat is and who Wayoon is and the Dominion.
I know who Gul Dukat is because he started making appearances from the very beginning of Deep Space Nine. So I am aware of his character. But beyond that, my last knowledge of the series leaves off where the station hasn't sort of been, they haven't lost control of the station at any point. And I gather from this episode that they do, and he comes back into power and then is ousted again. So I can sort of put together some of the pieces, but yeah, there is a 4.5 season gap in my Deep Space Nine knowledge.
Well, we'll have to continue your education at some point.
Yes.
Well, that was my first question for you after watching this episode, because this is a late season episode. Did you enjoy this episode, or were you lost? Because while it is, and we'll get into what happens in the episode, it's a contained episode, but it is informed by many things that happen before it.
I don't think I was lost. I do think that probably there were more nuances that I missed because I didn't have that information, that grounding in the previous seasons. But I knew the characters, and there weren't really any new characters other than maybe a few of the people who were whispering in Dukat's inner ear there in his madness. But I knew enough about the characters and sort of their grounding and who they were that it was easy enough to watch.
Well, that's good. So did you enjoy this episode before we... I'm mixing it up. I usually ask that at the end, but I thought I'd ask it.
I did enjoy the episode. It is... It's almost... I feel like this episode, there's not a lot of action in it. I mean, yes, there are a few fight scenes, but this episode is interesting and neat. And I've noticed this in other Star Trek series, that sometimes they like to have these sort of independent standalone episodes that are very dramatic, that I almost feel like could be performed on stage as well as for a TV camera. And this one felt like that. There was a lot of the interaction between Dukat and Sisko that felt very much like a play. And I thought that was fun.
Yes, and so this episode was written by Ronald D. Moore, who later goes on to Battlestar Galactica fame, and he kind of kicked off Deep Space Nine and made it much darker. And you mentioned after we watched this episode that it was much darker. We watched it twice together. Well, we watched it 3 times together, but the first time it was months ago. Then you had remembered, because it deals with, basically, Gul Dukat is insane. But in this episode, it is clear he's super crazy.
Yeah, there's some deep madness happening there.
And also, I brought that up because it's directed by Odo, René... Uh-huh. What I can't pronounce his last name. It's French. Sorry, Odo. You'll never listen to this episode, so it doesn't matter. And he had said that it was basically a stage play, the two people, Sisko and Dukat, talking to each other for most of it. Mm-hmm. And his challenge as a director was making it visually interesting while they were acting, because they were basically, holding the whole episode together, but still you need to move the camera around to give people things to look at. And it's basically, it takes place... The majority of this episode takes place in a cave with Gul Dukat and Sisko arguing with one another, basically.
Yes. At first, it's sort of veiled friendliness, and then it degrades into pointed barbs, and then true madness and some brutality. So
that's true. So why don't we just jump into yes. the recap portion of our episode, and then we will talk about things as they happen. So it starts off with Gul Dukat is we don't know. Captain Sisko is on the USS Honshu, and he's talking about how he's on the ship, and he knows that this person is on the ship, and he wished that this guy were dead, and things would be much easier, but that's unbecoming of a Starfleet officer, and we're not sure who he's talking about. And then he goes to the brig to visit this character, and we see, oh, it's Gul Dukat. And he and Benjamin Sisko have a little conversation where Gul Dukat is like, oh, it's so great that you came to visit me because we're good old friends. Thank you for stopping by. And talking about how he was so nice to his daughter, which was an episode that we covered on Random Trek with John Siracusa, the episode in which Gul Dukat and Kira are basically on a planet marooned by themselves looking for Gul Dukat's daughter. Dukat gets around. So Captain Sisko says, well, you know, I'm not your friend. I just thought I'd stop by and say, hey, to see what you're going on. And Dukat is like, well, tell me, do you think I'm guilty? Because he's being sent to a star base to undergo a war crimes tribunal. Because at this point, Gul Dukat has, he basically joined up with the Dominion, which are Odo's race of people are. They come and try and take over all the quadrants of space. Dukat aligns the Cardassians with the Dominion. The Dominion are winning the war against the Federation. At one point, they take back Deep Space Nine and put Gul Dukat as the in charge of the Cardassian Empire. His government is overthrown, and he is exiled, and then he's captured by the Federation, who's taking him to pay for his crimes. Although Gul Dukat does not think he's guilty, and he wants to know if Sisko thinks that he's guilty or not. And Sisko says, I wasn't there, so I don't know, but I'm pretty sure, basically, that you're guilty. Which is not what Dukat wanted to hear, I don't think.
No.
And so they go over, they talk about his daughter, everybody's happy. And then all of a sudden... Bad things happen. The ship is attacked. Red alert.
And then we find ourselves on Deep Space Nine, we're on Deep Space Nine. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about the attack, and... Odo is announcing what has happened. He's sort of doing the exposition.
That's right.
Kira talks about the orders for the search party. Yes.
So we find out a couple of things, that the Honshu has been destroyed, and it was attacked by the Dominion, and that they are looking for survivors, because they know that there are at least, two escape pods and a shuttlecraft escaped. And so they're dispatching two ships, the Constellation, I think, and the Defiant, which, of course, is captained by Worf, to look for Captain Sisko. But they only have 2 days. Well, they only have 2 days because...
52 hours.
52 hours, which is almost 2 days.
Almost 2 days.
Because the Defiant has to go and meet this troop carrier that's carrying, 50,000 or 32,000 soldiers that doesn't have any protection. And if the Defiant doesn't go meet them, the Dominion will blow up this ship. And that would be sad for everyone. So they have a hard deadline. And Worf is unhappy, but Kira's like, listen, these are the orders. I tried to get them changed, but these are our orders, so go. The more time you spend complaining, the less time you are looking for Captain Sisko. And so they're all like, all right, let's go. So off they go. And so that's kind of the B story, but there's not much there, except that they're looking for Captain Sisko. Sisko wakes up, and he is in front of a fire, and he doesn't know what's going on. And then we find out that he is in a cave with Gul Dukat. Gul Dukat has, when the ship was being attacked, they must have let Gul Dukat out because they were going to abandon the ship. And they found Sisko on the floor of the corridor with half his body in plasma burns and his arm broken. And so Gul Dukat took him into a shuttlecraft, and the other guy that he was with got killed by shrapnel.
Although I questioned that.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. We don't know. So the only thing we know about this story is from Gul Dukat's standpoint. And it is unclear whether he is just making this entire thing up or if he escaped and killed the other Starfleet officer and then took Benjamin Sisko on a shuttlecraft and off he went. And I wasn't even sure if Sisko's arm was broken, because Gul Dukat says, oh, there was a bone replica regenerator in the kit, but I didn't know how to use it, so I just put this big space metal arm jacket thingy on your arm to immobilize it. But it's unclear whether or not his arm is actually broken, or if Gul Dukat is just doing that so that he can put Sisko in a position where he needs Dukat's help to function. Because Dukat seems to be setting up this situation so that Benjamin Sisko will rely on him to survive.
Yeah, and we'll see him too as a benefactor, as someone who's benevolent. And that's what he wants.
Yes. So, yeah. And later in the episode, we find out that Dukat basically is engineered this whole thing. Well, the current situation, he didn't blow up the ship or anything, but he took advantage of it, and he has engineered this so that he can spend time with Benjamin and get Benjamin to admit either that they are actually friends or that he understands what Gul Dukat did and that it wasn't Gul Dukat's fault and he was just following orders and doing the right thing. Which, of course, is crazy, as we find out later.
Yes, absolutely.
It's crazy, man!
So at this point, they're on this planet, they're in mm-hmm. the cave, and there's a number of things that happen that are sort of strange to me, just generally about, like, the gear, and I guess it is, again, Dukat's way of showing him that he is taking care of him. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, you see him making soup over some weird little heat cube.
Yes.
And my thought was, they have these ration kits. You would think that those ration kits, you know, we're in the future.
They are in the future.
You just open them up. They're heated. They're ready to eat. You shouldn't need...
We have those now.
Yes. You shouldn't need salt and pepper and a little heating cube and a saucepan and a fancy little stand.
Well, so Dukat does say, oh, we have enough rations for several weeks, but I would feel much better if I could hunt something and make our food so we could stretch out the rations. And also so he can make soup for his ailing friend. In his time of need.
Yes.
And also, before that, Gul Dukat says, oh, don't worry, the distress beacon from the shuttlecraft was damaged, but I fixed it, and it's broadcasting on a general distress call, so either the Dominion will find us, or the Federation will find us, as we're waiting here in this cave. And it's, you know, 50-50, whoever finds us will find a colleague and a prisoner. And isn't that fair? And Sisko's like, well, it's not that fair, but okay. But yes, yeah, so they have these rations that include salt and pepper shakers, forks, water in milk bottles, apparently, which is kind of weird. And that's, I guess, about all we see in there. Oh, and I guess the bone thing that they don't use. And that's about all we see in the little suitcase of goodies that Dukat has gathered from the shuttlecraft.
Correct.
And then later on, he goes back to the shuttlecraft and he brings back, like, two foam pads so that Sisko will not have to sleep against this rock that he's been perched on. Because Gul Dukat is crazy.
Yes.
And this is when... So they have the... So Dukat goes off to find food. And when he's gone, he sees a figure in the cave. And this is Wayoon, who you... Risa, you may not know who Wayoon is, but Wayoon is... a recurring character in Deep Space Nine, who is kind of like the administrator for the Founders, which are part of the Dominion. So he's basically a clone who comes, I think his race is the Vorta. They are subservient to the Founders, and they basically do all the work. They're the administrators and the bureaucrats of the Dominion, and he is basically Gul Dukat's boss. And he basically, Wayoon says, oh, you want, why don't you just kill Sisko? He will have no respect for you if he knew what happened at the hospital and he saw you cry. And basically needles Dukat, and Dukat is like, and shoots at his hallucination. Which, as I put in my notes, it's never a good sign when someone is shooting at a hallucination. So, Dukat, this is the point at which we know... Something is not right with Gul Dukat. And this is when they make their breakfast on a space induction burner, as I call it. And they have this nice scene, although it is weird. I mean, I think that Dukat is making the soup to ingratiate himself with Benjamin and say, oh, look, we're friends and I'm making you soup and taking care of you because you're broken. But Benjamin Sisko is kind of like, well, the soup, he's like, you're putting too much stuff in the soup. And then Dukat's like, oh, he's trying to take control of the situation. Dukat's like, I'm cooking. And then he lets Sisko taste some, and Sisko's like, I need some salt. And so he goes and gets the salt pepper, the salt shaker. He puts the salt in, and then he's like, oh, it needs pepper. And so he goes and gets the pepper, and Dukat's like, oh, whatever. And he's like, is it good now? And Sisko's like, it's better. Clearly, he wants to keep a little control of the situation, because he doesn't have any control at all.
This is the point at which, so Dukat has gone, he shoots at his hallucination, he comes back, he makes the soup, but while he's gone, isn't that when Sisko discovers that the distress beacon isn't actually online?
No, he does that afterwards.
Oh, okay,
because
sorry.
Dukat, all throughout their conversation, Dukat is hearing things. The wind, which he thinks is the wind.
Okay.
And so after they're done eating soup, Sisko is like, well, right before this, Dukat furthers his insanity by asking Sisko, oh, does how's Kira and Quark, do they miss me, basically? Because, well, when they took over Deep Space Nine again, Kira and Quark stayed behind and were under his rule. And it wasn't very nice, and so there would be no reason. And Sisko is like, no, they don't miss you at all. And this is why Dukat is distracted. He goes off to check because he tells Sisko, oh, it's the wind, but Dukat has been having hallucinations. He doesn't want to tell Sisko that. But he says, well, just to be sure, I'll go check. And off he goes to check. And this is where Sisko's like, ugh, this soup is really not good. And so he crawls over to get his salt or pepper. It's unclear which. And he passes by the beacon and knocks the panel off as he's looking through the rations. And you see on the front, so these beacons are designed oddly. On the front, it says System Online in very big letters, and it's clearly broadcasting. In the back, which Sisko doesn't notice yet, is a flashing thing that says System Offline, because it's not actually broadcasting. And so you think, oh, Sisko's not going to notice this, but then he turns around and immediately notices that the beacon, in fact, is not functioning. So at this point, it is unclear whether Gul Dukat is just unfamiliar with how the beacon works, and so he thinks the front panel says it's working, so why wouldn't it be working? Or if, for some reason, he wants it to look like it's working, but it's not actually working. He sabotaged himself. Yes. We don't know. And so that's what Sisko doesn't know that, so he takes the opportunity when Dukat comes back, and he has not found anything because he's hallucinating. He says, oh, I thought the beacon wasn't working. And so I heard a beep, so maybe you should check it. Dukat goes over and he looks at it for a second. He's like, oh, it's fine. And Sisko's like, oh, you have to check the panel. Take the panel off in the back and to do a full diagnostic routine. And this is when it's obvious if you take the panel off, there's an obvious thing that's flashing that says it's offline. And so Dukat does that. He spends like 2 seconds looking at it, and he says, oh, no, everything's fine.
Yes, and that's when Sisko says, that's all I wanted to know.
Oh, Marissa, I wrote that down. Yes, that's the clear moment where Sisko is like, okay, now I know what's going on. Yep. For some reason, Dukat wants to keep me in this cave and doesn't actually want anyone to rescue us. And that reason is because I think Dukat thinks, well, at the end of this, they will be best friends forever. And yes. Which is kind of crazy.
At that point, we're back on the Defiant, and there's just 12 hours left before they have to head off and escort this troop carrier.
That's right.
They announce that they have picked up a beacon.
So right before this, this is when Sisko, Dukat is off doing whatever it is Dukat does on the planet, and Sisko has taken the opportunity to break a tine off his fork to fix the beacon.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, I left that part out.
That's okay. That's an important part because that doesn't make any sense. So he fixes the beacon, and then we cut to the Defiant, and they say, oh, we just picked up a distress signal. And Worf is like, well, let's get there. And so they go off to wherever this distress signal is. Dukat comes back as Sisko is fiddling with the thing, but Sisko pretends that he was just kind of trying to get some water, and he collapses. And so Dukat buys that and gives him some water. And this is the point where he comes back with the cushions.
Yes.
Which is nice. This is another point when Dukat says, well, what do you think the Bajorans would think of, you know, the evil Dukat talking to the emissary, which is like their big religious thing, which is Sisko. And he says, well, I don't know what they would think. And this is when Dukat has three hallucinations. He's visited by three ghosts. Wei-Yun, who is alive. I think they're all alive, actually. Kira and Damar, who's another Cardassian officer. So at this point, Kira is his hallucination du jour, and she tells him that he is evil and that, you know, she laughs at him and says, Sisko is just telling you what you want to hear. You're an idiot. He says they didn't understand him, that the Bajorans, it wasn't anything, everything that happened on the planet wasn't Dukat's fault. They were, the Bajorans were conquered for 40 years and they still weren't ready to be ingrained into Cardassian culture. And he was sent by Central Command to get the job done, and he wanted to do a gentler thing. But the Bajorans were having none of it. He stopped child labor and the slave in the labor camps, although he seems to think that's a great deal, but they're still labor camps. And he had them reduce their output by 50%, and yet 200 Cardassians were killed in attack on a military depot. So Gul Dukat did the thing that justice demanded, and he rounded up 200 Bajorans and had them killed. And so it went, and he killed more and more Bajorans in retaliation for Cardassians being destroyed. And he said they just didn't understand their place in the universe. They didn't recognize that the Cardassians were superior beings, and the Bajorans were meant to serve.
Yes, that they were 100 years behind.
They were 100 years behind in everything. And then Kira... The hallucination is next to Sisko, and she starts to mock him, and so Gul Dukat snaps once again and shoots Kira, the hallucination. And it looks, to Sisko, it appears as though Gul Dukat is shooting him, so he rolls out of the way. This is when he's rolling away, and he has hidden the fork that he broke underneath his blanket, which is an important part. But then we cut back to the Defiant. They have found two humanoids on the planet, right? And they're going to beam them up, and we think, great. Gul Dukat has gone crazy, but at least they're going to beam them up to the Defiant, and everyone will be saved. But...
it's not them.
It's not them. They just beam up two ladies. And you can clearly see Chief O'Brien is like, we beamed up two survivors, they're two women. everybody's sad. These survivors are not the survivors we were looking for, and they are lame. Which is kind of rude, I think. They are still Starfleet officers, but nobody's happy. So then we cut back to the cave where Dukat and Sisko are still there. This is when Dukat finds the fork, and he says, it's very disappointing, Sisko, I thought we had some trust here. And he figures out that he turned on the beacon, so Dukat destroys the beacon with a phaser. And then proceeds to savagely beat Sisko with a rod.
And this is the point, too, where there's a lot of interesting sort of filmmaking aspects to it. Mm-hmm. Sort of like they're shooting it from a way that enhances the power differential. And then after he's finished beating him, you come back and the camera is sort of looking from Dukat's perspective down mm-hmm. on Benjamin. He's wiping the blood off of the rod.
And he's being very calm.
Yes.
Which I think that was the best shot in the whole show. Because it really showed you how far Dukat had gotten into his insanity. I think the scene that is leading up to now, that is about to happen, is probably the best scene of the episode. And this is where Dukat basically... Sisko's like, oh, you know, you're blaming me for you beating me, like you always blame all of your victims. And then this sets off Dukat, and Dukat's like, oh, Benjamin Sisko, judge and jury has reached a verdict without any evidence. And they have this great scene where Sisko and Dukat are basically, Dukat really is doing all of the yelling, and he's trying to explain once again how he had a gentler hand, and the Bajorans... brought it all on themselves. He only wanted to help people, and nobody understood his methods, and he was trying to be nice, and the Bajorans just wouldn't listen.
Yeah.
And this is when he points out that they were like 100 years ahead and everything, and if only they knew their place. And this is the first time where we get the full chorus of his hallucinations in the background, either... they're all kind of reinforcing his points. Wei-Yun is saying, the Dominion just would have killed everybody, so we would not have been as gracious and forgiving as Gul Dukat. Kira's like, oh yeah, the Bajorans, we just hated you. We didn't want peace. We just wanted Cardassian blood. And Damar is like, yes, he tried a gentler approach, which everyone thought was foolish and was, you know, but he tried it anyway. And so this is where we get some great performances from whoever plays Gul Dukat and Captain Sisko, where they're going back and forth, and Dukat is just spiraling further and further into madness. And this is the point at which I think the character has always felt this way, but he realizes for the first time that it is he hates Bajorans, and it is his goal in life is to kill every Bajoran that there is in the universe. And he should have turned Bajor into the universe's largest graveyard.
Yes.
Which is not good.
No, there's a lot of sort of very Shakespearean ranting at mm-hmm. this point. It feels very sort of madness and that kind of classic sense, and he pulls it off really well.
He does. And then and he says he hates their religion, he hates all these things, and he hates their earrings, which I thought was amusing. He just hates everything about Bajorans.
Yes, and including their pride, which I thought was interesting because what I wrote down was that he has a similar kind of pride, but it's acceptable for him, but it's not acceptable for people who doesn't deem to be on a similar plane as him. And so their pride is unacceptable, whereas his is.
Well, they don't have anything to be proud of except for superstition. Whereas the Cardassians have 100 years ahead in technology and culture and military, and so they should, clearly they have things to be proud of, and they should be seen as not occupators, but emancipators. They should have been welcomed with open arms, but they were not. And so this is the point at which Gul Dukat realizes that he needs to go back to Bajor and kill everybody on the planet, and so he pivots away from Sisko as he's into this kind of fugue state. And Sisko takes that opportunity to pick up the rod that he was just beaten with and to knock Dukat out. And he says, and that's why you're not evil. Because this whole thing, they were arguing about how Dukat hadn't done anything wrong. He was just doing what he was told and what, you know, obviously was meant to be. So Sisko hobbles out of the cave into the sandstorm and goes to the shuttlecraft. He is in not good shape, so he painfully climbs into the shuttlecraft, which apparently have been designed to close their little doors very slowly.
And unfortunately,
this is where we find out the combination of slowly closing doors and Cardassians that can apparently leap super far, because Gul Dukat just leaps into the shuttlecraft and beats up Sisko.
Yes. I wrote down, he is one strong dude, because he picks up Sisko, who is a solid man, and just sort of flings him out of the shuttlecraft.
That is true. They have a little fight. Cardassians, it is Star Trek canon that Cardassians are very strong.
Wow.
So, and they are. So, they have a fight. Sisko basically says, why don't you just kill me? And Gul Dukat doesn't really say why, because he doesn't want to, basically.
I think he wants to leave Sisko alive so that Sisko can see.
Well, that's true. He wants to prove that he is going to do what he says he's going to do and kill all Bajorans. And so we get the last time we see Dukat, he's on the shuttlecraft, closing the little door, and he is attended by his three hallucinations.
Yeah, his little chorus of...
Crazy people. And off we go, and we think, oh no, Sisko is going to be stranded on this planet forever and die, and we'll need a new captain. But then we cut back to the Defiant, who gets a hail from
Gul Dukat.
And Gul Dukat tells them where they can pick up Sisko. And this is the point at which you need to remember that the Defiant has to leave in like 2 minutes because they have to go rendezvous with this ship. So they could either go after Gul Dukat or pick up Sisko. And so they pick up Sisko instead, obviously, which is the right choice. And he's beamed up. He's fine. He's in sick bay. He gets a visit from Dax. And she's like, hey, what's going on? What happened down there? And he says, I used to think that there were, you know, the world was a bunch of grays and that there was no one was truly evil. But then Gul Dukat is true evil. And it is my mission to make sure that he dies, basically.
Yes. And then he says at the end, can I say this?
You can.
He says that he fears no evil. So saying he does not fear Dukat and he acknowledges his deep evil.
And that's the end of Waltz. So named, one imagines, because Sisko and Goldukat metaphorically dance throughout the whole episode. So what did you think of the episode? What was your favorite part of the episode? Because you said you liked it. So.
I did. I think my favorite part of the episode is the point at which Goldukat is still trying to contain his madness, and Sisko is cannily trying to figure out what's happening and from where Dukat is coming from. And I don't know, I just thought, you know, it's interesting how well that actor portrayed that rapid unraveling of sanity.
Yeah, and that was interesting. So Goldukat is, I said, a fan favorite because of the actor is very charismatic and plays him very well. The writers wrote Goldukat to be the main villain of the show. And they did not think, and this is all according to Memory Alpha, the Star Trek wiki, they didn't expect or want Goldukat to be a fan favorite because he is an evil man who's killed 5 million Bajorans during this occupation. But everybody, a lot of the fans sympathized with Goldukat, and they were like, well, he was just following orders. He wasn't, you know, doing anything. So they wrote this episode to really... to set up, well, the final episode of Deep Space Nine is a duel, basically, between Sisko and Goldukat. But the Emissary and the Pal Wraiths at that point. Spoiler alert. they wanted to make it clear to everyone that Goldukat is bad, and he is crazy, and he thinks that he has not done anything wrong, but he has, and that you should not like him.
Yes. He's responsible for a massive genocide.
Yes, and he does not even think that he was responsible for it. Or he doesn't think anything was wrong with it because he was just doing what the Bajorans should have wanted him to do.
Sure.
Well, the classic oppressor who thinks that they are helping out the oppressed people as opposed to just, you know, taking all their resources and trying to take their planet.
You know, just violating them entirely. You know,
whatever. It happens.
Still does.
It continues to happen. It's true. And I think this episode was good, and it would not have been good if not for the good acting, or, you know, even the great acting that Goldukat and I'm blanking on actor's name.
Sisko.
I can't think of his name. Have done, because I think it's really all about them. And it's like Marisa said, it's like a stage play between the two of them. And they did a fine job. And if they had done a less fine job, it would have been an awful episode.
Yeah.
Because there's no hiding in this episode. There's nothing... There are a few explosions, but there's no, like, crazy battles or anything like that. It's basically... they're talking to each other for 40 minutes out of the 44-minute running time.
True.
And speaking of running times...
Our time is almost up.
Our time is almost up. So, Marisa, thank you for joining me.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
I'll go wheel my chair back into the living room now.
Get it out of here. And now we're done. Next on Random Trek, the Next Generation series finale, All Good Things.